Good morning. I just have to say that if you have never taken the opportunity to watch the kids at all during worship, it will put the biggest smile on your face. They have these ribbons, and I just love watching just this colorful display behind you. It's very magical every morning. So take a moment sometime and either sit in the back or just take a moment to peek back at what the kids are doing and how they are spending their time in worship. So I have the joy of sharing the Word of God with you this morning. This is a sermon that I preached for the class that I'm in, and it was one that was very much on my heart to be able to share. Recently, in my full-time job as a professor, I've been teaching about this common social psychological concept known as diffusion of responsibility, also known as the bystander effect. This concept states that when an emergency is being observed by multiple people, individuals think that someone else will do something about the emergency. What ends up happening, though, is that because everybody thinks somebody else will do something, nobody does anything. An infamous illustration of this concept is the murder of Kitty Genovese. Kitty Genovese was attacked and murdered outside of her apartment building in New York City in 1964. As she was being attacked, she screamed and yelled that she had been stabbed. In response, many apartment lights came on as people heard and saw the attack happening. The people yelled at the attacker, and he ran off. But nobody called 911. Nobody went out to check on her. At this point, Kitty was laying in the alley, having been stabbed, unable to make it to her apartment. And to make the story even worse, about 10 minutes later, her attacker came back and killed her. People knew that she had been stabbed and attacked, and yet they did nothing. They didn't call 911. They didn't go out and try to help her, even after the attacker left. They idly stood by, indifferent. Kitty was in the alley, still alive, and if people had called for help, she may have survived. So are the people who did nothing partly guilty for her death? In the prophecy from Obadiah, Obadiah is speaking about how Edom responded when Judah was being attacked and pillaged. Historically, the relationship between Edom and Judah has been difficult. However, there is a deeper connection between these two nations. Genesis tells us that Edom stems from the lineage of Esau, and Judah stems from the lineage of Jacob. Genesis further tells us that Esau and Jacob were brothers. However, they experienced a fierce rivalry when Jacob stole Esau's firstborn blessing. There is a patriarchal connection and familial responsibility between Edom and Judah, but there is also this underlying turbulence and strain between the two nations. When Judah was experiencing attack and destruction, Edom did not fulfill the responsibility that would have been expected based on their patriarchal connection. Edom did nothing. Edom idly stood by, indifferent. The prophecy goes on to show that Edom not only did nothing, but then gloated over and looted Judah after the destruction. They prospered while Judah suffered. They may not have been the ones committing the violence and destruction, but they benefited from it. And when fugitives from Judah tried to escape, they cut them off. They did not help them, but instead allowed for them to be taken by their enemies. When we look closely at this prophecy, Edom played a large role in the destruction of Judah, even though they did not actively commit the destruction. They not only were indifferent of Judah's suffering, but then rejoiced and prospered by it. The Oxford Commentary argues that it is the lack of action by Edom that is central to this prophecy. They prospered because they did nothing to stop the violence and destruction. They prospered not because of what they did, but because of what they didn't do. They prospered because they idly stood by, indifferent to the attack and devastation of Judah. Obadiah is holding Edom accountable, and Edom is guilty because of their inaction toward Judah. This is something we still see occurring in modern-day society. We tend to stand by and see what's going on in the world, but often don't do anything about it. We can see this on both small and large scales. How many times have we continued on in our lives, not aware or concerned about someone else's suffering or misfortune? How many times have we seen someone off to the side of the road with a flat tire, and we don't even think about stopping to see if they need any help? Or there has been a coworker who has been not quite themselves lately, but we don't want to ask if things are okay. That's none of our business, or so we tell ourselves. Instead, we stand by and remain indifferent because maybe we think that it's not our problem or concern, or maybe it's because we don't know what to say, so we say nothing at all. About 6 months ago, my cousin was in a car accident on Route 11 at the stoplight in Green Village, a pretty busy stretch of road. Of the people who witnessed the attack, one car stopped. The car that stopped was an off-duty police officer. Since when has it become part of our job? Why does it have to be part of our job for us to finally decide to stop? There were probably 15 to 20 cars present, and one stopped. At times, we become so concerned about our own life and maintaining our own schedules that we do not want to be inconvenienced by someone else's misfortune. It's easier to idly stand by and remain indifferent than to put ourselves out there and help. There are also moments that we do nothing because we think somebody else will solve the problem. We don't need to risk ourselves or waste our time. Somebody else will take care of it. When we look back to the story of Kitty Genovese, people did nothing because they thought somebody else would call the police. Somebody else will go out and check on her. They remained indifferent by believing that it was not their problem. Someone else would solve the situation. I think, though, to a speech that actress Emma Watson gave at the United Nations when she was speaking on the He for She movement, adapting a phrase used by politicians and religious leaders before her, such as President Reagan. Watson ended her speech saying, "If not me, who? If not now, when?" If we remain indifferent, how will things ever get better in the world? If we remain indifferent and do not feel the pain and the suffering in the world, how well can God work through us? But if we allow ourselves to feel the pain and allow our hearts to be broken, how much better can God work through that? If we stop idly standing by and remaining indifferent, how could the suffering of the people in this world, in this time, end? If not us, who? If not now, when? There are 17 families in South Florida who over the past month have been experiencing immense suffering, and countless more who have been experiencing pain, confusion, and disbelief at what they are having to endure because of one of the more recent school shootings. It would be one thing if we were shocked by what happened, if the events that transpired a month ago were rare and unpredictable. Then it may be easier to stand in solidarity with these families and not experience any guilt. and just pure grief and compassion. However, that's not the case. According to information gained by the nonprofit Gun Violence Archive, since the tragedy that occurred at Sandy Hook Elementary at the end of 2012, which took the lives of 26 children and adults, there have been 239 school shootings. 428 people have been shot, 139 of whom have been killed. In the last 5 years, that is almost 50 school shootings a year. There are only 36 weeks in a school year. What have we done as a country to work toward reducing the risk of these situations happening again? If not us, who? If not now, when? To put these numbers in perspective, between 1980 and 2012, across 32 years, there had been 297 people killed because of school shootings. If the rate we have seen in the last 5 years were to continue, we would expect to see almost 900 deaths in the next 32 years due to school shootings. We have a problem, and that problem is only growing more frequent. What are we doing as a country, as individuals, to reduce gun violence in schools? Are we just watching and standing idly by, recognizing the hurt and pain, but remaining indifferent to the solution? Maybe we stand by because there is no clear answer. So it's easier for us to do nothing than to try to do something. Or maybe we do nothing because we are only one voice. So how can one voice be the change? We have our discussions and our Facebook debates, but it never goes any further. We are still being indifferent when we limit ourselves, because amid all of the discussions and heated conversations, we are passionate about what we are saying. But if we idly stand by and do nothing toward making a change, we are being indifferent and part of the problem. We are guilty. If not us, who? If not now, when? In verse 10, Obadiah states, "For the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you." It is not saying for the violence you did to your brother. It is saying for the violence you have allowed to happen, you will be covered in shame. Are we ashamed yet for the violence we have allowed to happen to innocent children because of our indifference? Over the past month, I have talked to many teachers in some of the local school districts, many of which I am related to, about their experience about the school shootings. These shootings do not just affect the individuals directly involved, but they affect all students and all teachers. Of the teachers I have talked to, I have heard multiple stories about students breaking down crying during ALICE drills, the drill they do in preparation for an active shooter. One of my cousins, her kids play school at home, the pastime that we had as cousins, and now part of playing school is practicing an ALICE drill. And the one that broke my heart was when I heard of a sixth grader who approached her mom crying. Her mom is a school teacher at a different school than her, and she was afraid that if something like this happened to her mom's school, she would never see her mom again. What can we do? In a CNN article titled 10 Ways to Put the Brakes on Mass Shootings, the article identifies 10 different ways people of multiple political leanings believe we can stop mass shootings. One of those ways identified was to strengthen gun control laws in order to reduce the accessibility to guns. Another was to improve school security, making it more difficult for someone to come into the school with a weapon. Another was to revamp the mental health care system so that people could receive the help needed before it escalates. And yet another was to focus on improving students' social skills, arguing that it is a lack of social skills and empathy that may allow students to be able to commit these heinous crimes. The conversation about what to do to solve gun violence is not easy. All of these possible solutions have their strengths and their weaknesses. Unfortunately, what tends to happen is the conversations become polarized. If we agree with one solution, then we must be against the others. We have a hard time finding a middle ground in which multiple sides can agree. Because we can't agree, we remain indifferent and do not take action. On Wednesday, March 14th, thousands of students did take action. High school students organized protests around the country in support of stricter gun laws. Whether we agree or disagree with what the students were protesting, I find it amazing that these students were passionate enough about the cause to organize and participate in these protests. They didn't want to idly stand by and remain indifferent to the problems they are seeing. If nothing else, they wanted to raise awareness that a solution is needed. Action is needed. There is no one right solution telling us exactly what we should do. It's not clear. However, what we do know is the wrong answer is to do nothing. If not us, who? If not now, when? We cannot stand by indifferent as Edom stood by indifferent to Judah. Not knowing what to do is not an excuse for not doing. What we do need to do is advocate for change somewhere. Pray. Do research. Have a conversation. Decide to have a conversation with someone who believes in a different solution than you. Listen to each other's perspectives and see if you can find a solution that works for both. We can't find a solution if we do not actively seek. Don't be the bystander and think that someone else will take care of the problem, so you don't have to. An infamous quote by Edmund Burke, an Irish philosopher, says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Do not do nothing. Do not idly stand by, indifferent to the suffering around you. Advocate for change. If not us, who? If not now, when? Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, I give thanks for us to be able to come together to worship you this morning. And I give thanks for you giving me the courage to speak the word that you have placed on my heart. I pray that we leave today different, with our hearts changed, and with the courage to take a step in a direction that we feel you are calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.